NCAA tournament coverage is brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, the future of awesome, and Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
That's a good Sunday flow intro to our third hour of the show. It is the March Madness Special, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Rudy Salazar has been producing the show today. You can follow him at NotThatRudy, which is a great Twitter handle. Great show so far. We've had the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, on the show, getting ready to call KU and Duke tomorrow, 4:05 p.m., a game you can hear live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pre-game coverage starts at 2:30, so a lot of stuff tomorrow. We also had Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star on the show, who covers the Jayhawks for the paper. And Jesse's got a lot of stuff on his Twitter account, stories and updates and news and notes. And then, of course, tomorrow he'll get his quick scout on KU and Duke on there. Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards Sporting KC defender, was on the show. Sporting KC on the road taking on Colorado tonight. And that game you can hear live at 8 o'clock on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, which is 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. And coming up here, we're going to go wall-to-wall today. We've been here all day. Rudy, what time did you get here this morning? You got here at...
about 5:45
a.m. 5:45 a.m. for Rudy Salazar. I got here about 10:45, a little bit later. But we were thinking about, okay, we'll have our show from noon to 3. But we were able to get some arrangements. Chad Boger, who runs Union Broadcasting, got us the coordinates for all the satellites for the coaches. So coming up at 2:50, that's 2:50, we will have Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils in their press conference. And those usually go about 30 to 40 minutes. So at 2:50, we'll have that. And then Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks will take questions from the media at 3:40. And so we will have that for you. And then Westwood One pregame coverage right after that. And then, of course, Loyola Chicago and K-State at 5:09. Florida State and Michigan at 7:49. All right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That's a lot. We got a lot going on, is what I'm saying. Also with a lot going on, especially today, is Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Riley, you've got a game to cover here in a couple hours, so extra duty for you for jumping on here. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem. But, I mean, by the sounds of that that show lineup and everything you've got and everything that you've had so far, it doesn't sound like you really need me on this show right now.
Well, we do because you're on the ground in Atlanta. I'm not there, so we need the up-close perspective on it.
Fair enough.
Okay, let's clean up before we get into too much of the numbers and looking ahead to Loyola Chicago, which tips off in about 3 hours. There's a big topic that came up after K-State's win over Kentucky. And the thing that came up was the fact that Kentucky did not shake the hands of the K-State players. Now, there's a side to every story. There's two sides. There's three sides. There are four sides. How many other sides you want to dedicate to a story, you can find one. So it was noted after the game by some members of the media, I think you did as well, that the Kentucky players did not shake hands with K-State. What John Calipari said after the game was, look, they were out on the court celebrating. I walked over there to find Bruce Weber, but again, they're jumping up and down, so we just went to the locker room. And it wasn't meant as a slight or anything like that. Did K-State, did Bruce Weber or the players take it as a slight that K-State walked off or that Kentucky walked off and didn't stand around and wait for them to get done celebrating?
I mean, the players did, or at least some of the players did, specifically Ahmad Wainwright. That was who I quoted on Twitter. Because he was talking about the fact that they didn't shake their hands, and he was really upset because he said he had always wanted to shake the hand of John Calipari. But, you know, in fairness, they weren't doing anything wrong. I mean, I don't blame Kentucky for leaving if you got to stand there and watch the team that just beat you celebrate on the floor before you can shake their hands. You know, I tweeted out the news, or the quote about it, just because I thought it was noteworthy. I couldn't see it because of everybody standing up and moving kind of where I was sitting, so I didn't actually see if there was a slide or anything like that, but some K-State players took it that way. Other players didn't really think that much about it. I don't think there's as much of a story there as it ended up being, per se. I don't really blame Kentucky for anything, really.
I'm not going to stand around and wait for a team to get done celebrating. That would be like the 2015 World Series if Noah Syndergaard just kind of stood around and waited for the Royals to get done celebrating. In fact, he could stand 60 feet 6 inches away if he wanted to. That's one of his lines about hitting.
Yeah.
We're talking with Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com, Loyola of Chicago and K-State. Tip-off at 5:09. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Riley, first of all, it's Kentucky. It's blue blood. I don't care if it's a bunch of freshmen. Their freshmen are five stars. Their freshmen are McDonald's All-Americans. Their freshmen are one-and-dones, at least a good number of them will be one-and-dones. They have a Hall of Fame coach. It doesn't matter. It's Kentucky. It's blue blood. Has it sunk in to K-State yet what kind of an accomplishment it was? Have they been able to enjoy it, or did they take the 20 minutes that Bruce Weber said and move immediately on to Loyola?
They did. You know, they really did just kind of move on. I mean, they were really obviously very happy to win in the Sweet 16, to beat a team like Kentucky that nobody believed that they could beat. But this has been one of this team's best attributes, I guess, all season, is the fact that they're able to just kind of, you know, move on right away. They don't spend too much time on a game they won or lost. They just take it. They, you know, they celebrate for a little bit, and then they immediately go to watching film on their next opponent. They go right back to work. So I think it sunk into them, but this has been the first team I've ever actually listened to and believed it when they say, you know, it's a great win, but we're on to the next one. We're trying to focus on the next opponent, because that's the team speak, so to say. That's what everybody always says. But I really believe that this team is a little bit different than the normal team.
We're talking with Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. K-State getting ready to take on Loyola, a 9 seed versus an 11 seed. One of these teams is going to the Final Four. And Riley, maybe that's why it's been easier or more believable that they've moved on. If this was a K-State team that beat Kentucky in, say, the Big 12 SEC Challenge, some kind of Guardians Classic, if it had happened then, I could see them celebrating for a week and going back to campus and being welcomed back to, as soon as they got off the bus, and getting high fives in class. I could see that. But the reality sets in after this one. Okay, we beat Kentucky, but guys, we have a chance to go to the Final Four. That's very different from a regular season game.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, there's something that goes to speak for maturity, for experience, whatever, with the team. You know, that Kentucky team, let's just put it out there, that Kentucky team is more talented than Kansas State is. They have better players than Kansas State has. I hate to break that news to people that didn't know that. But Kentucky is a more talented team. But there's something that goes to speak for experience and upperclassmen on your team, and that's what's able to drive K-State. That's how they beat, well, aside from defense, that's how they beat Kentucky. They've been here before. They've seen this. You know, this type of setting, not this far, but they've seen postseason, and they know what it's all about. And that's why they're able to treat this differently. They understand that this is not just another game. They understand the implications here. They understand how they're making impacts in K-State basketball history right now. I mean, this is going to be a team that is forever remembered. Everybody remembers that 2010 Kansas State team that went to the Elite Eight. This is going to be one of those teams now, and I think they really understand that.
All right, you're listening to the March Madness Special, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're talking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Covers K-State. They'll play in the Elite Eight tonight against Loyola. The winner moving on to the Final Four. All right, Riley, one more little side note before I get into the numbers. I always have these side notes I got to get to first. All right, somebody before the game against Kentucky had tweeted out a quote from Kevin Knox, who said he was asked if he wanted Dean Wade to suit up and play for K-State. And his response, Kevin Knox's response, was, "I hope he plays so they don't have an excuse." And it's been thrown back and returned by K-State fans. And I kind of quote tweeted it and said, well, Kevin Knox doesn't have an excuse. They all played. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, it was that overconfident.
Yes.
It was just amazing. You could see that almost just in the press conferences, in the pregame. They thought they were going to win that game. Everybody thought they were going to win the game.
Absolutely.
Heck, even Woody Page on ESPN said that the only thing, the Kentucky's biggest concern was getting to the arena on time. And so to have all that out there, that made that win even all that much more special.
Yeah, and I've seen it, and John Calipari made all those comments about, we can't drink the poison. He sets himself up for the he sets himself up by, you know, in case they lose, he's got the excuse that he's already put out there. Well, I guess our kids believed it. All right, so let's talk about some more. Let's talk about K-State, because the story coming out of the game against Kentucky is Xavier Sneed, and I think our good friend Mick Schaefer from 41 Action News tweeted out. The Top Gun line with an alteration. I feel the need for Sneed. And you go back through this tournament against Creighton, Sneed scores 9 points in 36 minutes. Didn't take a ton of shots. Against UMBC, which was the darling after one game, Sneed scores 8 points in 34 minutes and was not great. And then against Kentucky, toughest matchup of so far in this tournament run, 22 points, and only played the 30 minutes, 7 of 14 from the floor, 5 of 8 from downtown, and 9 rebounds. Is this he hadn't scored more than 12 points in a game going back to February, to late February. Is this the Xavier Sneed that we're going to continue to see that K-State needs? Obviously, they didn't need it for the first two games. But is this more the Xavier Sneed we can expect to see? Or do we see a regression to the mean a little bit in this game against Loyola?
I mean, you would like to think that this is the Xavier Sneed you're going to get moving forward. He's just had a really, rocky sophomore year overall. He's kind of in that cliche sophomore slump. The thing with Xavier's a very mental player. Xavier's a very confident player. He goes off of his emotions all the time. And, I think that kind of plays into his favor in this game. He played a great game against Kentucky. He was dominant on all ends, really, honestly. And I think that maybe he can carry that into this game against Loyola just because of that, that confidence and knowing what it takes to be there. And so, I'd like to say that you're going to see it every night, but quite honestly, he's been a little inconsistent this year for me to say that you're going to see it definitively. It's just something that, as a K-State fan, you have to hope that he continues to bring it, I guess.
All right, we're talking with Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. Covers K-State. They're playing Loyola in the Elite Eight game. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. 5:09 is the scheduled tip time. All right, another player that kind of head-scratching, really. Ma Wayne, who had really poured it on at the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. He went for 14 against Baylor, 16 against TCU, 29 against Kansas. And now in the tournament, I don't know if he's struggling with the opponent's inside presence, but only had 5 against Creighton, only had 11 against UMBC, and then shut down against Kentucky. No points. He did not bring anything to the floor and only played 22 minutes. Is there a problem with Ma Wayne's game, or has he been caught in some matchup issues?
Well, specifically Kentucky was a matchup issue for McCall. I mean, that was just, Kentucky was so big. They were
right.
So long. And they definitely were overpowering him. So I'll chalk that one up to a matchup issue. Overall, I think McCall is just kind of struggling a little bit right now with the whole transitioning to postseason play, the NCAA tournament. I mean, he's another guy that he's very quiet. He's very reserved and kind of keeps to himself. So he really doesn't show his emotions that much. So it's kind of tough to get a good grab on him. But to me, he kind of seems that he's still trying to handle this, trying to get the grasp of the NCAA tournament, kind of see what it's all about, I guess. And I know that that's really weird. I mean, it should just mean each game is just a normal basketball game. But to me, he's kind of taking it a little bit tougher of a transition into the NCAA tournament than some other players typically do. So that would probably be what I would guess is his struggles right now.
All right, we're talking with Riley Gates. GoPowerCat.com, K-State and Loyola at 5:09 p.m. All right, another interesting part of that game, and I'm wondering if the coaches did put this in the scouting report, but K-State decided late in the game that they were going to foul Washington whenever he got near a basketball. He was 5 of 7 from the floor, but against at the free throw line, 8 for 20. And was that Bruce Weber's game plan, that if they were in a tight game, they were going to just send Washington in a parade formation to the free throw line for the last 5 to 8 minutes of that game?
I mean, maybe, but also I don't think that was necessarily their go-to, because they were limited on players. You were almost dipping into to putting a guy like Maldo Sala in the game, and he hasn't played in the last 13 or whatever games. I mean, they were running out of players left and right.
Quickly.
And in foul trouble. There's no way they would have won that game in overtime. They just would not have had the horses to go with them. So, you know, maybe Bruce Weber saw that and thought it was working for him, you know, that that's something that he could take advantage of. But I don't know if that was necessarily the approach for from start to finish, you know, to put him at the line. I think that was more of a just kind of him being at the right place at the right time to get fouled. And luckily for K-State, it worked out in the end.
And there were times when I felt a little bad for Washington going 8 for 20 because it was clearly he was mentally could not focus on the free throws. And then you see the Kentucky name and I moved on. I didn't feel so bad for him. But if you were to tell
Kentucky fans, apparently on the Kentucky Rivals site, have started a conspiracy theory that the referees purposely sent him to the line too many times knowing he would miss the free throws. So there's your random conspiracy theory for Kentucky fans for the year.
It takes all kinds, trust
me. It sounds very legit if you ask me.
Rudy would like that theory.
Rudy's a big, if you don't know, Rudy's a big Kentucky fan, so yeah. A conspiracy to send him to the free throw line. Okay, now I've heard it all. We're talking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Final thing on this game, and then I promise we'll get to Loyola. If you were to tell Bruce Weber and his coaching staff and his team and Wildcats fans that K-State was going to go into a game against Kentucky, three K-State players were going to foul out, and you were going to win and be one game away from a Final Four, you'd have said, no way. You couldn't, speaking of conspiracy theories, you couldn't write that. You couldn't make that up.
Not a chance. Look, they were predicted to finish eighth in the Big 12, and I don't think that that was all that far off. I just think they were not that good of a team to start the year. But they, somewhere along the way, they found themselves. You know, they got an identity. They all got better along the way. And, I mean, this is a special team, and they might say that they believed that they could, but honestly, you got to wonder if they actually thought that this deep of a run was possible for this type of team. I got to tell you, it's something that I would not have even thought it was remotely possible at the start of this season to be here in the Elite Eight with Kansas State, but I guess here we are. You know, that's why they play the game.
All right, one way or another, Loyola of Chicago or K-State, one of those teams is going to the Final Four, and Jim Nance is going to have to do some homework because I can bet he hasn't watched any of those teams, either of those teams play one game this year. he's busy watching golf. Okay. So when you drill into this game, the fun aspect for me is all of the Kansas City kids who are going to play in this game. Because I covered all four of these kids when they were in Kansas City. For K-State, Mason Schoen from Blue Valley Northwest, Ahmad Wainwright, who didn't graduate from Hogan Prep, but he spent a couple of years at Hogan Prep, which is a great program, great coach there. They just won another state championship. So those two for K-State. And then on the Loyola side, it's been well-documented. Clayton Custer, the player of the year in the Mo Valley, and his teammate Ben Richardson, the defensive player in the Mo Valley, both from Blue Valley Northwest, both amazing high school careers. And these kids are all going to play. And two of them are going to the Final Four. And I just love that angle to this story.
It's really cool, you know, and it's really neat to see that type of pipeline talent out of Kansas City be represented here, you know, at the Elite Eight. And I think that that's something that's really special to them too, because Mason Schoen said it multiple times this week that he thinks basketball talent in Kansas City is always overlooked. So yeah, that is a really cool storyline. It's pretty wild the fact that one of the two groups of Kansas City kids is going to be in a Final Four.
All right, so as you've watched Loyola throughout the course of the tournament, they, like K-State, are overlooked at every step because they're an 11 seed. They're from the Mo Valley. Okay, I get all that. But, you know, they've won these games. They've had buzzer beaters every time. I think in the three wins, they won by a total of 4 points. It is really hard to sustain a run all the way to the Final Four, only winning by 1 and 2 points every night. As you watch Loyola, as you've done the prep work for GoPowerCat.com, what has been the primary strength for Loyola, and do they match up well with K-State in terms of can this be a good, hard, competitive game?
You know, when I look at Loyola, the thing I see with them is the fact that they're so balanced. You know, Clayton Custer is their leading scorer at like 13.4, I think, per game. But they have five guys that score in double figures, and I think that really plays into their hands, because it's not like Creighton. It's not like UMBC, where, you know, Creighton had Marcus Foster was the go-to guy. UMBC had Jarius Lyles. He was the go-to guy. With Loyola, it's all balanced. It's a bunch of different guys doing the work. So Barry Brown, you know, he might lock down on Clayton Custer, and, you know, one or two of the other players might be locked down on. But if you're K-State, you got to defend all five players with a strong tenacity. You know, you can't just focus on one or two guys. So I think that's, you know, something that plays into Loyola's strength really big here tonight. And the fact that they, you know, you mentioned the fact that they had won by a combined total of 4 points. And a lot of people will say, oh, they shouldn't be here. They've barely won. I tend to look at it the other way, that coming down the stretch in tough games against good teams, they find a way to get the job done. And it doesn't matter if it's by 10, 20, or 1 point. You win the game, you move on. And so I think that goes to speak a lot for how good Loyola can be as a team, because in crunch time, they know how to get the job done.
And for K-State, you talked about having to play all five of the Loyola players on defense because they spread the ball around and share it so well. Will Dean Wade be a part of that? He went for 8 minutes against Kentucky. I saw tweets out yesterday during team workouts that Dean Wade was back in his boot again. What is Dean Wade's health status as of 2:23 p.m. With 2.5 hours to go to tip off?
Well, you know, I don't mean to sit here and sound like an I told you so, I knew it all along. But from the start, I've always kind of thought that this injury was a little bit more serious than K-State was leading it on to be. And clearly it is. You know, I think it's far more than just a minor stress fracture or whatever. I think it's something major. So I don't expect to see Dean Wade on the floor at all tonight, because Kentucky was the game where you needed him bad for matchup problems, and he only played 8 minutes. And it was he was hardly moving around, I guess, is what I'm trying to say there. He was really not all that present in those 8 minutes. And this is a better matchup in terms of size. Apparently this four-guard lineup works for K-State. I don't know how, but when you have a guy like Mike McGurl guarding a post player for Kentucky and it works, it's beyond me how that ends up working out. But it's worked for K-State, and I don't see any way that it could work tonight, especially since Loyola is not near as big and as long as Kentucky was. So I think that it's a good matchup for K-State. I think that in terms of size, they really don't have any issues going into tonight at all.
All right, K-State and Loyola tip off at 5:09. One team is going to the Final Four. Our final question for you, Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com. Give me your winner and final score or margin of victory. You can pick either one.
Oh, man. Okay, put me on the spot. I got to go with K-State tonight. You know, I don't think that – you know, I think that Loyola's a good team. I think that they'll give them a little bit of trouble early on, but I just don't know if that – yeah, one of these times, you know, I mentioned all those close games. One of these times, you got to imagine it's not going to go Loyola's way. You got to imagine somebody makes the plays down the stretch for K-State. And I think that their defense is just too good right now. I mean, they're by far the best defensive team in the tournament, and I think that this game will be no different. I don't think K-State's going to have any trouble shutting down some of Loyola's top scorers. So I'll go K-State somewhere in the range of 6 to 8 points, I would probably say.
I'll jot that down. And I'll tell you what, for a K-State team that ruined your final spring break of your college career because they made it this far, if they make it to the Final Four, that would be icing on the cake. It would make it all worthwhile, all right?
I think I could deal with that.
Hey, Riley, thank you very much. Have fun at the game tonight. Enjoy it, and we'll see if K-State's dancing their way to San Antonio for the Final Four next weekend, all right?
All right, thanks, Brad.
All right, that's Riley Gates. You can read all of his stuff at GoPowerCat.com. He's covering K-State along with Tim Fitzgerald. So they've got a good team, GoPowerCat.com. They have a good team that travels with the team and great tournament coverage, all that. So K-State and Loyola, 9-11, 5:09. Winner moves on to the Final Four. Again, we will have that game for you live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And again, just watching all those Kansas City kids that are going to play in this game. I'm so happy. I'm going to be happy for the two who make it to the Final Four, and I'll be happy for the two who don't make it because they got to the Elite Eight, something they may have thought might not happen at their school of choice. All right, we need to take a quick timeout. Coming up at 2:50, so about 20 minutes from now, we will send you to Omaha and hear from Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils. We're going to track down their press conference. So that's coming up at 2:50. And then at 3:40, Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks will address the media. So we'll have that for you. Again, that's at 3:40. And then Westwood One takes over with their pregame coverage after that. And then we'll have the games for you. K-State and Loyola at 5:09. Florida State and Michigan at 7:49. We're just going to keep on trucking all day long. You're listening to the March Madness Special. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
NCAA tournament coverage is brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, the future of awesome, and Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
Welcome back to the March Madness Special, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm your host, Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Rudy Salazar is our producer, at Not That Rudy. We've been setting the table all day for college basketball, the Elite Eight games, with the winners tonight moving on to the Final Four. And we'll have coverage all day long here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Rudy's been here since 5:30 this morning. I got here about 10:30, 10:45, so my day's not nearly that long. But we're going to cruise on through. We were originally going to go till about 3 o'clock, but we've got the satellite links, we believe, for the coaches' press conferences for Duke and Kansas. So coming up here in about 18 minutes, Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils. Easy for me to say. The Duke Blue Devils will take to the podium and address the media and take questions. So that's coming up in about 18 minutes. And then Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks are scheduled to jump on board at 3:40. So we'll have that all for you. And then Westwood One's pregame coverage will take over after that. And then we'll have both the games, Loyola of Chicago of K-State at 5:09, Florida State and Michigan at 7:49. All live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I was looking at that Florida State-Michigan game because we haven't had a lot of time to talk about it. And frankly, K-State is the biggest game in the area today. But you know, that Florida State team, the 9 seed to me is deceiving. You know, they're 23-11. That doesn't jump off the page and scream, fantastic team. But when I was talking to Jared Sutton a couple of weeks ago about Florida State, and what kind of team they had. I believe that was ahead of their game. They're playing a local team. I can't remember who it was. But he said that this Florida State team is very athletic. They're very good. And, you know, they've got some decent wins this year. They beat Clemson, which got knocked out last night. So far in the tournament, beat Missouri, beat Xavier, beat Gonzaga. And you know, Gonzaga was a team that was a, you know, 4 seed. And had a chance to do some damage. They're a very good team. Don't sleep on Florida State. And Michigan, they were kind of iffy in that first game they had, but they've played better. And again, that'll be right after the K-State game. We'll have it for you live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's go to the phone lines. Wayne is on line two. Wayne, you're on the March Madness Special, Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, thank you, Brad. I don't have a question. I just want to compliment you and your radio station. I just love the local programming. I'm not a fan of ESPN radio. I'm really not even a fan of ESPN TV sports. You know, the broadcasters there, I really just don't care for them. But you guys are so good at covering the local teams as well. I'm just thankful for the option not to have to watch or listen to the national sports people. So I just appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. Hey, Wayne, enjoy the games tonight. Thanks for the good thoughts.
Well, I'm a K-Stater, but I'm also a KU-er.
Okay.
So I'm getting remarried after cancer took some spouses from two of us to a KU gal. So I got a KU shirt now.
Okay. Well, it's good for everybody in the state of Kansas to root for both teams except when they play against each other. So,
and I have to say, she has 3 K-State shirts. You know, women, they're not satisfied with one shirt. They've got to have 2 or 3. But
Well, for the most part, men make up for it by having a closet full of 37 hats that they don't actually need. So
thank you.
All right. Wayne, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I have too many hats. It goes both ways. But, I like what he said there. And part of the great thing, and I don't always talk about it, but on occasion, when I'm doing shows here on the weekends, I bring up the fact that I have fun every time I come here to 810 WHB and Union Broadcasting, because there's so many nice people and people I get along with. And Chad Boger, who runs Union Broadcasting, was in here earlier, and he's getting us extra stuff to make sure we have enough tournament coverage. We have more than we need. During one of the last commercial breaks, Sandy Cohen, who's a big ad executive here, sales executive. What's his exact title, Rudy? He's a big wig. He's been here, vice president. Okay. He puts together a lot of stuff to make sure that things are sponsored and we can carry all this great stuff. And Sandy pops into the studio, and, you know, I might see Sandy in a passing once a month or so at different events. But he comes in to say hello, and super nice, and he's here working on a Saturday to make sure a lot of things get done for the tournament coverage. And Rudy's great. Charlie was in here earlier, and Jed's around here. I think, are they still running that? Soren Petro's here with his group. They're in the conference room having their, I think, part two of the Major League Baseball draft. Part two. They had one earlier in the week, and then they were supposed to have part two last night, but guys didn't want to miss the KU game. So they were all here when I got here. They've been here a long time.
Yeah, I believe they started at 10.
Oh, boy.
I think that's what Jed said, maybe 9:30 or 10.
I've tried fantasy baseball before on just like ESPN.com, where I, you know, not with friends, and you just do the automatic draft. I didn't take it all that seriously. But, man, if you're in a baseball fantasy league, the daily upkeep and management of that can really take a lot of time, because you're constantly scanning the league waiver wire. Then you're scanning the injury reports, make sure your guys playing. Then you gotta scan the lineups for different teams to make sure your guys are actually playing that day. It's a lot. There's a lot that goes into it. But back to my original point, that's why I like coming in here, and that's what Wayne was saying. He likes the local angle here. You know, I like there's some national I like some of the national programming. I like getting a different perspective, and they have different coaches on from all over the country. And it's a good mix. It's a good blend. And I enjoy coming over here to do shows for Sports Radio 810 WHB after my time at the channel formerly known as Metro Sports. But I enjoy being over here a lot, and just the people and getting a chance to talk KU and K-State and Mizzou and Loyola and Creighton and UMKC and whatever it is, Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, which we did today. So we will take a quick timeout. Again, just to reset it for you, coming up, we hope at 2:50 we'll have Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils. They'll be talking to the media, so that's about 11 minutes. And then at 3:40, Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks will have their turn to talk to the media, and we'll have that for you all here, along with both the Elite Eight games live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You are listening to the March Madness Special, live from the Rally House Studios. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
NCAA tournament coverage is brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, the future of awesome, and Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
Welcome back to the March Madness Special, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I am your host, Brad Porter. Rudy Salazar is producing the effort as we come to you live from the Rally House Studios. Rudy, I always love the Rally House has the mannequin in here with the T-shirt and the hat, and the mannequin scares me once in a while. But I always love the hats and the T-shirts. But the new hat is the Kansas City Luck hat. It's let's say it's a trucker hat. The front is like navy blue. The back is white. The patch is red with a green four-leaf clover in the middle. And I love it. But my question is, what happened to the last hat? Because I really liked the last hat, the one with the KC on it on the side. It was really cool. And I kept threatening to maybe take it. And then Chad Boger and I were talking to the Big 12 tournament, and I said, love that hat. And he goes, I hear you talking about it all the time. You're talking about stealing it. And I said, that's the problem, is I've talked about it so much that if somebody else steals it, I'll get blamed for it. And I didn't go buy it. But this new one, holy smokes, maybe I should take a picture and post it on Twitter. At Brad K. Porter. All right, setting the table real quick, because we are going to take one more quick break. Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils should be speaking in about 4 minutes And then Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks will speak at about 3:40. And by speak, I mean they'll talk to the media, take questions and all that. But we're going to have that all for you live, which rolls into Westwood One's pregame coverage. And then Loyola against K-State at 5:09, Florida State and Michigan at 7:49. All of that live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So one more quick break, and we should be back next with Coach K and the Blue Devils talking about their matchup in the Elite Eight with the Kansas Jayhawks.